This story about the FBI, it, on the face of it, Lorne, it sounds good. It sounds needed. You know, you go after criminals. You want to be able to get fingerprints really fast. You're checking terrorists. But there's got to be a hole here somewhere. Do you see it?
Well, this whole area is what's technically called biometrics, of course, which is when you're using physical parameters of individuals to do identification, and a fingerprint is a biometric. It's the classic biometric. So what's happening now is there's a lot of research and a lot of work toward expanding to other biometrics, and some of that we've seen in some security applications, iris scans, for example, voice identification systems, mostly for verifying that someone is who they claim to be, in other words, for access control and things like that, rather than used to try to pick out one person from a big population like you would to solve a crime. There's research even on trying to identify people from their gait, from the way they walk. And in that list you read at the beginning, I was kind of surprised that they left out odor index. I think that's one of the ones.
Is that real?
Yeah, actually it is. I'm not so sure, you know, how far it is along for the FBI. But if you want to hear something really creepy to start with here, there's a DARPA project. That's the same organization that started the ARPANET and the Internet to build a quadruped robot, which is basically like a big walking robot dog. In fact, that project is called Big Dog. And if you remember Ray Bradbury's original, the novel version of Fahrenheit 451, not the movie that came later, there was actually a robot creature, like a robot dog, that chased after people and found them by their odor index, and then it killed them. But
right,
you know, we're hoping we don't go that far.
Well, you know, it's going to happen. I mean, they've got the dog sniffing creatures now that they use in hunts for people and stuff like that. I mean, it's just a matter of time before technology does it.
Yeah. Well, the thing about biometrics that you have to remember is that unlike most forms of identification, like an ID card or something like that, or a password, or even a little security dongle or something of that nature, it's really hard to change your biometric parameters if they become abused, if they get lost and used by someone falsely. Getting a retina transplant or an iris transplant is a lot harder than changing a password, to say the least. So anytime you start talking about biometric systems, you have to think about what can go wrong and what happens when the system is compromised, because you know that if humans build it, there's going to be a way to compromise it.
There was a company called Pay by Touch years ago, raised over $300 million and went under. Its mission was to do biometrics for people with fingerprints, and they were going to pay their bills and identification and things like that. Were they just ahead of their time, or is there a market for that?
Well, I think there's a market. I mean, one of the important things is to keep in mind the different ways you can do this. So, for example, there's a lot of schools now that use fingerprints to set up when students come in for lunch, right, to determine whether or not they're allowed to have free lunches and such. And usually those systems are designed so they're not scanning the whole fingerprint the way that law enforcement would. They're just looking for certain points on the finger and doing a crunch of that down to some parameter that can be matched. But even that causes concern among parents, probably not so much because of that system itself, but because of the implications and because of the fear, which is often justified, that there's going to be mission creep in these systems, and eventually the data there'll be a way found to use the data in broader ways and in circumstances that weren't part of the original program.
Are you glad this technology is going down the path it's going?
No. basically, I'm not. I mean, I'm all for catching bad guys and putting them away. I think the problem we have generally is that we put these technologies into use before they're ready. And when we do put them into use, there aren't sufficient controls on how the data collected is going to be used. I mean, usually there's great promises at the beginning. Oh, we're going to only use it for this. There's going to be data protection. It's not going to be used for any other purposes. But then what happens is somebody somewhere says, well, if the data's there, why can't we use it for something else? They go to a court. The judge says, of course you can use it for something else, and it doesn't matter what you promised originally. And that's how you have that kind of data creep, the mission creep, where data that started off for some laudable, reasonable, good cause that everybody probably could agree was righteous and wonderful, and then it starts to be used in other ways for other purposes. But by then it's too late. It's hard to change your fingerprints or your irises or things right. of that nature. So as we move into this kind of technology, it's really important to keep in mind that we're opening up a whole kind of brave new world that goes way beyond the fingerprints that we're all used to.
Wasn't there some kind of facial recognition device in Florida a few years ago that accidentally spotted somebody who was supposed to be a deadbeat dad, and they went and got him, and it wasn't that guy?
Yeah, facial recognition technology is one of those really interesting areas where there's a tremendous amount of research, but so far it's not showing the kind of promise that had been hoped by its proponents. Again, it's one of those technologies that's really good if you want to verify someone's identity. If you're at the security door and you want to verify that it's George Norrie and it has a picture of you on file and mm-hmm. you're standing in front of the camera, that's one trick. But if you want to scan everybody at the football game and pick out the people that have overdue library books and terrorists and things like that, that's a much tougher task, because it turns out to make facial recognition work right, you have to have just people at just the right angle, the face has to be pointed the right way,
right.
The light has to be right, all sorts of things. They're also doing work now where they're trying to simplify that by just looking at like very close-up images of the skin, so they can look at the patterns of your skin, the exact shape of your nostrils. I'm not making this stuff up. And then they use that as the data, because obviously no one's going to have exactly the same pattern of moles and beauty marks and things like that, or hairs. And so there's a lot of work in that area. I expect it's going to be advancing very rapidly. I see no reason to believe it's going to hit a brick wall. So that's another area to definitely be thinking about the way things can go wrong.